Okay.
How was Shabbat?
Today, Baruch Hashem, we missed you.
Yeah, yafe. We missed you all.
Really?
And you're going to miss me
this
week.
I was with my daughter babysitting.
Okay.
I didn't go to shul there.
Okay, today we are learning Parshas Chaye Sara. And again, it took me a long time to find something new to say. Because we're almost in our 10th year of Parsha classes, so it took a long time. You have no idea how many hours it takes for me to say, well, I'm not going to say this, or you look and, well, I don't like the way it concluded, and, you know, till you get something from me, you know, it's been worked through. Okay, today we're going to focus on the story of Eliezer, the servant of Avram, and the lessons we can learn from him. Okay, and you'll see very, very practical lessons from him. So the first source is dealing where Eliezer has already met Rivka. You know the story. Eliezer has to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he makes a whole test. The girl that will draw water for me and offer for the camels and everything. And he sees that Rivka does this. He now comes to Rivka's home, and he's speaking to Rivka's family and describing the events that happened with him. So this first source, I have a few of the Hebrew words. It's very important. If we have time for this, you're going to see it's going to be amazing. He says, so I came today to the fountain. That's where they drew the water.
Not a well.
Well, that in the Hebrew English, you know, Hamayan, a spring, or a well, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And look at the Hebrew words for a minute. I put it in intentionally for later. Va'avo hayom el ha'ayin. And I came today to the fountain. And I said, O Lord, God of my master Avram, if you desire to prosper my way upon which I am going, and then he repeats the whole story, you know, give me a sign, I'll make a test who the right woman is, and bring me all these things. But what is he telling the family of Rivka? I came today. I came today to the well. So Rashi over there says something interesting. So I came today. He says, today I left and today I arrived. Now, where did he go? He came from Hebron. He ended up in Haran. And normal trip would take many, many, many days. Many, many, many days would take the trip. And Rashi is saying, Hayom yatzati vayom bati. Today I left, and today I arrived. Says Rashi, Mikan, from here we learn, Shekafza lo ha'aretz, that the earth jumped for him, or English, shrank for him. In other words, he had a miraculously shortened journey. What normally should have taken days, he left in the morning, and he comes even before nightfall. Rav Acha said, we learn from here, Yofa sichoson shalav deyavos, so pleasant the ordinary conversations of the servants of the patriarch is more beloved before Hashem, mitorason shalbanim, from the Torah of their sons. For the select section dealing with Eliezer is repeated in the Torah, whereas many fundamentals of the Torah were given only through allusions. What he is saying is, there's many profound, important halachas that are only hinted to in the Torah with an extra letter here, an extra letter there, as we learn in Gemara. An extra letter teaches you lots of things. But here, the discussion, Eliezer, there's at least 30 or 40 extra verses. I mean, we know the whole story, and then Eliezer tells over the whole story, and the Torah writes over every word he told over, instead of just saying, and Ezra came and he told him the whole story. No, we really have verses and verses of the whole story. And that's an example right over here. It could have just said Eliezer came to them and says, okay, we want to marry your daughter. That's it. Or Eliezer told them what happened to him. No, we go over the detail. Today I left, right? I came to the well, etc., etc. Now, this is a very unusual Rashi. We have three parts to this Rashi. First of all, Rashi says, today I left, today I arrived. So the rabbis ask, where does Rashi see that in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, I arrived today. Okay, could be I left a week ago. It's true, he did arrive today. It's not like I was here for a few days already. No, I arrived today. So where in the world does Rashi get this idea? I arrived today, and I also left today. That's the first question. Nowhere in the text does it suggest that. Number two, they say, I guess the only way he could have done that is a miracle. That the earth shrank for him. Shrank for him. A miracle. What takes such a long time, it shrank. Whatever that means. I mean, that's called a miracle. Usually you walk with your feet. So somehow the earth shrank for him. Not exactly sure what that means. I mean, okay, we just say it's a miracle, but what does that exactly mean? Okay, that's the second thing. And again, how is that relevant for us? Like, okay, so very good. So God did a miracle for him. So now I'm learning this. What does that have to do with me? Like, so very nice bit of information. Because Rashi said, well, how could he have left today and come today? Must be the earth shrank from a miracle. Okay, so what's the message for me that I'm learning this, that I need to know all that? I mean, Rashi could have just excluded this all. Like, who cares? Just ignore it. Just say, I came today. And then he says, and from here you see that the conversation of the servants of the patriarchs is more beloved than all the most complex halachas that come from a little comment over here. So that it's interesting. Rav Friedman over here in the Shvili Pichas, he just makes an interesting point. He says, well, we could see how pleasant is the conversation of the servants of patriarchs, because you see how much Torah people say from it. In other words, he learns like this: Yafa sichos and shelav de'avos. You know how beloved. You know how we know the conversations of the servants of patriarchs are so good? Mi Torah and shobanim, from all the commentaries that the children have tried to understand what is going on over here. In other words, because everybody has a Dvar Torah to say on this. So you see, it must be very important if people talk about that. That's just a side point. But this is a very difficult Rashi. And more than that, like, so what does it mean? Good is the Torah. Like, the whole thing is, like, just the whole Rashi just doesn't belong here. Number one, I had no problem. I came today. Fine, he came today. No, you know what? He came, really, he left to say he came today. Really, where'd you get that from? And then you can tell me it was a miracle, the earth shrank for him. Okay, why do I need to know that? And then he just throws in, you see how beloved. Look at this, it's like Rashi's being a darshan over here. Rashi's supposed to tell you push a shot in the pasuk. Rashi's here for one reason. You read a pasuk, you have a problem with the pasuk, Rashi tells you to fix up the problem with the pasuk. Right? I read the pasuk, I had no problems. This is, I came today, I have no problems. That's what happened, he came today. No. He really means he left today, he came today. How did that happen? Well, the earth shrank from him. And now, all of a sudden, at this point, it says, and you see how precious the conversation students are, that the Torah spent so much time writing about it, more so than other things. Like, what's that after that? And if you didn't say that, it would also be fine. So this is a problem. And, like, what's the whole message over here? So this is one of the issues we want to discuss. All right? So to help us understand over here, so we're going to explain one interpretation, which is a very beautiful message, and as time allows, we'll go mystical on you and really come up with all kinds of deeper ideas. We'll see how the time goes.
Will that cover the fact, why would God perform a miracle for such a trivial...
That's right. That's also a good question. Why would God perform a miracle for such a trivial thing? Very good question, too. Okay, excellent. Yeah, but why does he have to get there early? If he comes a week later, he comes a week later. I mean, Yitzhak's 37. If another week, ain't going to matter, you know? It's not like, well, if he doesn't marry her within the next few days, it's going to be terrible. You know, what's Yitzhak doing? He's learning Torah, right? He's 37, right? So he'll be 37 in 1 week. So 37 in 1 week. I mean, you know, a lot of times we want things right away. You got to wait. You want
to
wait.
Maybe they didn't go to the water every day.
Every day. They had to go to water every day. Have to go every day. So, like, why does God do a miracle? That's a good question, Milton, for such a relatively trivial thing. I mean, it's important to find a shidduch for Yitzhak, but if you find a week later, it's not the end of the world. That Hashem has to make miracles already? That's a good question. So, we are told, we look in Tehillim, and we have a few interesting sources that are also problematic. David HaMelech says, in source number 3, he says, Einai b'ne'emonai eretz. Hashem says, my eyes are upon the faithful of the land. Losheves imodi, to dwell with me. Biderech tamim hu yishor seini, he who goes on the way of the innocent, he will serve me. So David is saying, in the name of Hashem, my eyes, Hashem says, you know who I pay attention to? To the faithful of the land. So the question is, that's a very odd way of describing someone who's faithful. Usually the better word, not be ne'emane oretz, but ne'emane ruach, faithful of spirit. If I would call you a faithful person, would I call you a faithful one of the land or faithful one of spirit? Usually it's your spirit is who you are. Faithful of the land? Yeah. So that's also an unusual word. We have to understand that. And then finally, the Medrash Rabbah, when Hashem created the world, it says, the Pasuk says, and Elohim called the dry land Eretz. He called it Eretz. Land, like Eretz Yisrael. He called it land. So the Medrash asks a question. Why did he call it land? He could have called it bazooka. Like, what is it called? Eretz. Like, what's the word Eretz? If it's three Hebrew letters, Aleph, Reish, Sadi, Sofis. He called it Eretz. Well, he could have called it Yabasha. That's what he said. He called the Yabasha Eretz. Called the Yabasha Eretz. What's the meaning of the word? The word has to have a meaning. Like, why call dry land the word Eretz? He could have called it anything. If it said it's called, called booby. So in the Chumash be booby, so we call it booby, right? So there must be something about those three letters that means something. So look what the Medrash says. Go look, I put in the Hebrew. Look at how you write the word Eretz in Hebrew. Aleph, Reish, Tzadi. Sofis, you see.
Aleph, Reish, Tzadi, yeah.
Yeah. Why was its name called Eretz? Because it wanted to do the will of its maker. And the Hebrew word for wanted I put there is Ratzita. Same root. Reish, Tzadi. You see the root there? Okay. Reish, Tzadi. Wanted. So you know what it's called? Eretz? Because it wants to do the will of Hashem. It wants to do the will of Hashem. Means to say Hashem said, let there be dry land. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll be dry land. Very difficult medrash. Because when Hashem said, let there be a firmament, the firmament also wanted to be a firmament.
What's firmament?
Shemayim.
Oh.
Yehi rakia ala shemayim. Let there be a rakia ala shemayim. And it did it. Why do we call the rakia Eretz? Because it wanted to do what Hashem said too. No. Hashem said, let's create animals. Call all the animals Eretz. Because they wanted to do everything in creation did the will of Hashem. Except maybe you could say the trees, the fruit trees. But besides that, why are you singling out the earth that does the will of Hashem? Everything in creation listened to Hashem. So why does he get special name for that? Well, and the answer is the Gemara Chulin says, I said only one didn't listen to Hashem. Everything else in the world listened. No.
Also,
okay, but 99.9% of the creation did the will of Hashem. Agreed?
And the Mayim, Hashemesh, the Mayim didn't want to separate.
But it listened. At the end of it, listened. Almost everything else listened to Hashem. Almost everything else listened to Hashem.
The land is giving the produce that is grown in the land is for the people.
So good. So the sun didn't complain. Let's call the sun Eretz. Sun had no complaints. Photosynthesis. Without the sun, we'd be dead. And it said, okay, I'll do it. So the answer is, look in source number 5. Gemara says something very interesting.
Faith.
And based on Rashi's interpretation, the Gemara says all the works of creation were created in their full-grown stature. First of all, everything was created ready to go. Not little saplings, but sequoia trees. Everything ready. With their consent and according to the shape of their own choice. Rashi explains, before Hashem created anything, he spoke to the trees and said, okay, I'd like you to be a tree. I'd like you to look like this. I'd like you to be over here. I'd like you to work this way. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
And they all agreed. They all agreed.
Yeah, you did.
And he went to everybody. He said, you know, I'm going to make you a monkey. This is how you're going to look. You're going to go, you okay with that? Yeah, I'm okay
with
that.
The water.
Everything.
Everything.
So again, what's the big deal that the earth did what Hashem wanted it to do? That's the point. Like it strengthens the Quran. So what's the big deal? He says, the Arugas HaBoisem, one of the Hasidish commentaries, Rav Moshe Greenwald, who lived in the late 19th century, lived a Hungarian Rebbe, lived in Hust, Hungary. Okay, he wrote a sefer called the Arugas HaBoisem and says a beautiful, beautiful interpretation. He said, of everything in the world, sure, I'm going to make you the sun. Are you okay with that? What do they do? Well, you get to rise in the morning. You get to shine up the whole world. You're so powerful, even people might even worship you as idols, but you're really powerful. You create photosynthesis. You create solar energy. You make people see, you know, wow, that's good. That's good. I like that. Okay, I'm going to make you a monkey. Well, what do you do? Well, you know, you come around, you get to eat bananas all day long. You get to swing from vine to vine. And sometimes they'll take you in a zoo and you'll make little kids happy watching you. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Hashem wants to create Eretz. He wants to create the earth. The earth is the epitome of gashmius, of physicality. It's homrius, it's coarseness. Go to the earth, a clod of earth, right? This is the lowest part of the world. It's the lowest part of the world. Earthliness represents the hiddenness of Hashem. It represents the lowest aspect of spirituality. People run after the pleasures of the earth and becomes a great test, and many people do not serve Hashem because of this. Being the earth, you know what? People get to step all over you. Get to dump garbage all over you. You are going to be the source of much pain and suffering in this world, because people who will follow their earthly nature will do many, many sins. He says, that's the job you're giving me. The earth could have said, I'm not interested in that job. I'm not interested, because where's the glitz? Where's the glory?
But there's many degrees of productivity of land. Some land is arid and desert, and some is rocky with rocks.
But overall, the idea of the earth is, as we said many times, there is gravity. And we said gravity is reflecting a spiritual negative. Gravity means you're pulled down to the earth. You're pulled down that you want to be an earthly person. You want to be a person who's focused on gross physical pleasures. That's all incorporated in being part of the land. And the earth says, you know, that's not such a great job. Now the sun, on the other hand, that's shining and it does this and does that. You know, water gets to give life and it's all kinds of spiritual good things. But the land in general, it has a very negative spiritual connotation. Whenever we talk about the earth, it's always in a negative way. It's in a negative way. It's artsius, chumrius, coarseness. And it could say, you know what? I'd rather be the sun. I'd rather be the water. I'd rather be a monkey, because a monkey never makes a person do an aveira. Doesn't lead a person to an aveira. But you make me the earth. The earth is the greatest source of people going away from Hashem. I don't want to be part of that. But what did the earth say? The earth said, as much as I think it's not such a great thing, but if Hashem wants me to do it, then it must be that's what I'm destined to do. And that's what the Medrash says. Okay. Of all the things in the world, he only called one thing Eretz. Why? Because there's only one that really had a good reason not to want to do what Hashem wanted it to do. And it's called Eretz, to say that even though I got a job it wasn't happy with, I'll do it happily. Hashem says, I'm going to call you Eretz because you want to do the will of Hashem. That's the message of Eretz. And that's why it's called Eretz. It's a beautiful Rotza Ani. I want, even though it's not such a great job, you know, you have this all the time. You know, you have, you know, Cyril and Beis Yaakov, right? They'd have a big play every year, right? Big, big play. The whole school's involved in the play, right? Every girl in the school got a job in the play. Everyone had a job. So somebody could, the lead role, supporting role, you know, it's a pretty good job. Being in the choir, you know. Okay, now we start getting a little bit lower jobs. Then, you know, like the person who makes all the, the scenery. Oh, he can draw beautiful things, you know. And you got the person who just, like, pulls the curtain open. Or you need a person to clean up afterwards also. It makes a mess. So usually the person who has the most talent gets the best jobs. Yeah. And someone says, well, you know, we got a great job for you. When there's a big mess at the end of the night, can you stay for 4 hours and clean up the mess?
Sure.
So most people say, you know, imagine if you did that to the smartest and brightest, the most talented person. I said, sir, I'm not going to take it. It's an insult. I'm insulted.
Yeah, sure.
But you know what? But if they asked you, that's probably the best thing for you. Now, it could be in a school it's not so, but when Hashem asks you, he's not, you know, playing favorites. He's saying, you know what, Milty, this really is the, I'm God.
But I would say, what's the reward for it?
It's a,
You don't want to say that.
You said, I serve to please the Lord.
Yeah, okay.
I serve to please the Lord.
Yes, sir.
The job of our, the Yetzirah's job is for us to not be happy with the tasks that Hashem gives us. If, let's say, Hashem gives you a great ability to earn money, but you're in a world where they say learning Torah is the most important thing, being a scholar is the most honorable thing, and the guy says, you know what, I think I'd rather be a scholar, but really, God gave you a good business mind, and you can make a lot of money. The guy says, you know, but the rabbi, he sits and learns, and he gets all this honor, people stand up for him, he gets to give a class, is that, I got to go into the business world, deal with all these meshugana people who are trying to cutthroat you and this and that. You know what, I'd rather go and sit and learn too. That's the Yetzirah talking. Or let's say the person who's sitting and learning Torah and is struggling because it's hard. He doesn't make a lot of money. And he can't just go into a store and just buy a dress for his wife for $500 without looking. He has to go to Value Village and see if he's lucky. He's lucky today. Maybe this ep is something nice that they could get for $6. And he says, you know what? Maybe I should be a businessman because I wouldn't have to go through this. The Yetzirah's job is always to tell us not to be happy with the job we have. And where do we go? What did Hashem do in the Torah to teach us it's not so? He created the earth. And the earth, which is the most unsophisticated created being, as it were, it's dirt, it's filthy, it's stuck in the mud. People are going to always be upset at me. Oh, I put my foot in the mud. Yuck, this cursed mud. All these problems. So Hashem says, you know what? You took the job. You didn't argue with me. I'm going to give you the nicest name. Only you're called Eretz. That you want to do the will of Hashem. There's no nicer name than that. With this, we can now understand what King David said in source number 3. Hashem says, you know, my eyes are upon who? Hashem says, you want to know who I pay attention to? The faithful of the land. People act like the land. People act the Mone Eretz. That's what it means, Eretz and Adama. Eretz means that they want to do the will of Hashem. That's the ones I keep my eyes on. You think Hashem, why'd you give me such a lousy job, Hashem? He says, you know why? Because you're the one I know that can do it. And if you do the job happily, the benefit is Hashem's eyes are on you. You go by the way of innocence. You serve me. And when my eyes are on you, I'm going to take care of you. That's what you see from King David.
Can I say something?
Of course you could say anything you like. Almost anything you like.
Okay. Well, you've got the dependency on rain, for instance, is relative to us being committed to Hashem.
Yeah.
And consequently, if they don't, it's going to stop raining. And of course, the land does not become productive.
Okay.
So it's got a degree of of threat, but because that, it's dependent on
right,
something
but,
else.
But you know what? But when it rains, everybody's happy. It comes.
Yes, it's happy. But how about the earth that doesn't feel that it's productive?
Well, it does the job Hashem wants it to do. That's the point. That's the point of the Eretz.
Why the earth doesn't
well, a lot of rain? Times it's not. Again, you're getting to what's the existential concept of earth? Earth means physicality, grossness, not the loftiest things. That's right. The idea of earth. You don't connotate spirituality with earth. Yeah. We don't. Heavens, that's spirituality. Earth is not such a spiritual thing. You know, and therefore, you know, it's because I'd opt out. Let me be the heavens. I'll be happy to do the heavens. Give me that part. Give me that part in the play. I don't want to be the earth that everybody steps on and everybody blames me because that's the Yetzer Hara and all. I don't want it. He's willing to take it. That's the concept of Eretz.
Okay.
So now, let us see who in this week's Parsha manifests this idea so nicely. So let's go to source number 6. Now let's try to understand this. Avram had, for many, many years, we don't know exactly how many years, but it's many years. At this point in the story, Avram's 137 years old. Mm-hmm. At the point of this story, as a matter of fact, no, he's 140. Mm-hmm. His trusted servant Eliezer, at least, I know exactly when Eliezer joined the team to work with Avram. At least 70 years, I could prove to you. Could be maybe 100 years. But was a servant a long time. Now, you try to think of your classic servant. Loyal servant, you know. Think of, you go back a little bit. You remember the, what was the TV show called? There was a butler called Mr. French.
Yeah.
Remember there was a TV show where this single guy and his mishpacha passed away, and their two little twins, he had to adopt them. I forgot, I think it was called A Family Affair. Anyway, but there was one character, it was Mr. French. He was like a British, not a butler, but like in Britain, you know, you have a man servant, a chashev guy, you know. Yeah. He takes care of everything.
The manager of the house.
He has a suit and a tie and everything. It was Mr. French with a real English accent. Really becoming, and he took care of everything the guy did. Eliezer was like Mr. French. He took care of everything that Avram had. And the way the Torah describes him, he was the Moshe Asher Bokal. He took care of everything. Avram trusted him with everything for so many years. Remember when Avram had to go to war against the four kings, who did he take with him? Eliezer. He was right with him. Eliezer put his life on the line for Avram. What he wouldn't do for Avram. So Avram now says, you know, I have one more job to give you. I'm getting old. My son needs a daughter.
A wife.
My son needs a wife. He needs a wife. Eliezer goes, yeah. Now, Eliezer, we know, has a daughter.
He has a daughter.
And the daughter was a pretty good girl. You know, she wasn't an idol worshiper. She's raised in this home. Mm-hmm. And for all these years, Avram's teaching everyone to believe in God. And Eliezer was his trusted servant. He did whatever Avram wanted to do. So he's thinking, you know, I got a daughter. Okay, so what is here Avram saying? Avram says, well, I want you to go far away to Haran. Go to my birthplace. And you'll find a shidduch in my birthplace. So he says, well, I understand. I guess he wants to make a shidduch with his family. You know, family first. So now Eliezer said, in source 6, as he's reviewing the story. Now remember, he's reviewing the story to the people there. So he's saying, and I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. What if I go and they're not willing to send her away? What should I do then? Now, if you look, the word in Hebrew for perhaps is ulai. Ulai.
Where?
But if you look over here, Rashi, source 7, the word ulai is written defectively, missing a vav. You see it, see in the brackets.
Oh, yeah.
It, the word ulai, is written without a vav. And if you read it without a vav, it could be read elai to me. Those letters, Aleph, Lamed, Yud, can be ulai, perhaps. Elai can mean to me. So what was Eliezer saying? Eliezer had a daughter. He was looking for a pretext so that Avram would tell him to turn to him, to marry off his daughter to him. He says, well, what if she's not going to want? Hint, 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 I have a really good daughter. I have a really good daughter.
Okay.
70 years I've been working for you. I've got a good daughter.
Okay.
So what does Avram say? Avram said, my son is blessed and you are cursed. Because Eliezer was a descendant of Canaan, who was cursed by Noach. Remember, Noach cursed Canaan. Eliezer was a descendant of Canaan. And an accursed cannot unite with a blessed one. Sorry. Not only he said, Avram could have said, Avram could have said, even if he didn't want, he said, well, I don't know if that's going to work. Amir Tzashem, we will find a shidduch. No, he hits him right between the eyes. Forget it, man. I'm never going to marry into your family. You're cursed.
Oh, yeah, you can answer like that.
Now, imagine if you were this trusted servant and you did everything for this guy. I mean, you did everything.
Bye-bye.
And he said, that's it. I had it. I mean, you could at least said it nicely.
That's right.
You could have said, well, Amir Tzashem, Hashem will find it. Like, why us even think about that? That could have been a nice way to get out. No, that's why you to know you're cursed. We're never going to marry into your family.
Wow, that's a bad scene.
Now, if it would be me or you, we would respond in a number of ways. It could be a number of ways. The worst way would be we'd swear at him.
Yeah.
And then you could keep everything you want. Give me my 2 week salary.
Shalom.
And more than that. And Avram doesn't even know what's going on over there. He'll say, you know, he's an idiot. He won't know. You know, I worked for him some years, 70 years, minimum wage. And said, I'm going to just slip out like $2 million. He won't even know. He won't know the difference. For such a guy, that would really be bad. If we did that, that would really, I mean, I'd understand, but that'd be bad. But we could do, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go, but I won't like it. I'm going to go. I'm going to take my time. And if things don't work out, does he need something? It's in that. Oh, here's the key. You need the key for the vacuum cleaner. I'm sorry. Oh, I think it's 1 second. It's not this key. It should be this key. And if not, and it's better. Try that just to unlock it. Yeah. Okay. So we say, okay, I'll do it. But grumpily, you know, I don't really care. I'll do it. I'll go through the motions. I still want to be on the payroll. You know, one day Avram's going to die, and I'll inherit everything. I mean, it's a clever person. Like, I'm really upset, but why quit? I mean, he's 140. He's going to die. So I'll go, but, you know, I won't try my hardest. And I'll come back. I'll say, sorry, couldn't get a shidduch for Yitzchak. It just didn't work out. And you don't want my daughter, so it's not my problem anymore. But that would be a pretty normal human response. But he didn't do that. He said, even though I've been insulted in the worst way, I will do this job happily. And in the best way possible.
But why would he say curse rather than you're just not?
Because he is. Applicable? He is. God cursed Noach. God cursed Noach's and Ham. And Canaan was the son. He cursed Canaan. Noach cursed Canaan. And Eliezer was the descendant of Canaan. He's cursed. He put it straight in that you are cursed and we are blessed. I can't forget about it. It's never going to happen. But what do we see by Eliezer? He goes, he does the job as if he's expecting the biggest payday in the world. He does it with zrizus. He does it with alacrity. And more than that, as soon as he gets to the well. Now, I don't know about you. No matter how you get there, it's a tiring trip. Then I just got in today. I'm just going to check into the Holiday Inn. Tomorrow I'll start working on the project. You know, that's even if you're a good guy, you do that. He's coming with him. He says, no, I got to find someone right away. I got to get the job done right away. And he makes all the, Hashem, please. Hashem, please help me. And we'll make a sign that she's going to come and this and that. So what is that? He asked Hashem, give me a sign that she's the right one. And the biggest proof we see that he was so sincere is that Hashem made the earth jump for him. You want to do the job really good? I'm going to make sure you do the job really good. And that's what Avram hinted to him in source number 8. When Avram said to Eliezer in the very beginning, the Hebrews at the end, the English at the beginning, Va'ashbiach Hashem, I will adjure you by the Lord. I want you to make an oath. But how does he describe Hashem? Hashem Elokei Hashamayim, he's the heavens, of the God of the heavens, but also what? Elokei Haaretz, the God of the earth. Meaning to say that Hashem gives jobs for that. He gives heavenly jobs, and he gives earthly jobs. And you know what? There's a lesson to be learned from the earth. That the earth does the job even though it doesn't like it. And that was what Avram knew in the beginning. He was giving a job he knew he wouldn't like. Right in the beginning, where he says, come and do this job for me. And he's telling what kind. And remember, I make you make an oath, you'll do a good job by the God of heaven and also the God of the earth. He's also the God of the earth. The earth jobs are also important jobs. And the earth says, right, Sonny, I want to do this. Okay?
But so Abraham is out of content. Say, what? Here's a man that, who's generous and so kind, and it could have been much more tactful than
no. He's trying.
Why he has to use the word curse?
You know why? He's trying. You'll see in a minute why.
Oh, okay.
He just like Hashem tested Avram. Oh. Avram knows he has to test Eliezer for his own good, as you'll see shortly.
Could that been nullifying his curse?
No. This is the test. We'll see. Let's just wait. Wait. You're on the right track.
Okay.
He's making it harder because he wants him to grow, Eliezer to grow. The best favor he could give Eliezer, not money, is it spiritual freedom.
Oh, I see.
Just like Hashem tested Avram, and it ended up being for Avram's benefit, this is also a test for Eliezer.
I see.
He's hinting at it. Listen, it's a God of the earth. God gives us all kinds of jobs. They don't even like the job you get. But a person who cares and wants to do the will of Hashem, he does this. So that's why it works out that even though he was... So the question is, how could Eliezer, who is so cursed, how could he do it so well? So on one level, I can say, you know what? Because Mikan kafza lo ha'aretz. The earth jumped for him. Can be understood in many ways. It could also mean ha'aretz, the desire to do the will of Hashem, jumped for him. He jumped at the opportunity to act like the earth. Do you hear what Rashi's saying?
Yes.
Kafza la'aretz, the earth, his earthliness, his wanting to do the job, even though he didn't want to do the job, jumped at him. That's not the push-up shot, and we'll explain the mother shot, but that's clearly what's happening over here. How do you come in one day? Especially when you got insulted, and you were told, you know, you're never going to get anywhere with this. You know, just do the job. All right, I'll take my time. No, I left today. I came today. I did the job quickly. I jumped past my earthliness. Now, obviously, there also has to be a miracle, because no matter how hard you try, you can't get it done in a day in physical normal way. It was too far, even running top speed. You can't do it. But he jumped past his earthliness, as it were. And he wanted to do the will. And that's how he accomplished it. And how did he come in one day? Because he wanted to do it. And Hashem made a miracle. He made the earth jump. We have to still explain a little bit more. But this is the lesson from Eliezer. What we learn from Eliezer is you get a job you don't like from Hashem, you act like the earth. I want to take it. This explains a lot of interesting things. For example, the Gemara in Brachos, famous Gemara in Brachos, source 9, where it talks about a contradiction in two pesukim. One pasuk says, "Vasafta d'gnecha," you go out and gather your grains and be busy farming and you get blessings. Another part of the Torah says you got to learn Torah all day long. So how do we resolve? Either you learn Torah all day long or you work all day long. So comes Rabbi Yishmael. And he says a very interesting shot. Look at the very last line in source 9. He implies that you are to combine the study of them, the study of Torah, with worldly occupation. Both.
Of course.
Look at the Hebrew. Haneag bahen minag derech eretz. Conduct yourself with derech eretz. Very interesting word. Derech eretz. The way of eretz. Why don't we just say, hinag bahem minag ha'olam. Why say minhag ha'olam, the way of the world? Why derech eretz? Very funny word. If you think you say derech eretz, come on, derech eretz. What does it really mean? How about another? Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Beautiful. Yafa Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Good is Talmud Torah with derech eretz, because when you work hard at both of them, sin goes away. Again, what's the idea of derech eretz? The answer is what the message is, that we have to give great chizuk for people who are have to work. Many of them could be very depressed. They could say, you know what? I never made it to be the big scholar.
Yeah.
You know, who gets all the honor? Who gets all the honor of the Jewish people? The big honor. The big rabbis, the big scholars. We get up for them. We listen to what they say. They decide policy for the Jewish people. I say, what kind of loser am I? I work hard on my farm. Yeah, I make some money. But I don't know if that's my calling. Like the Torah says, you should be learning all day long. I can't learn all day long. I got to be busy making a living. I got family, I got kids, I got this. I'm a loser. My life is just never going to be a great life. To which Rabbi Shmuel says, "He noig bahen minag derech eretz." Conduct yourself in the way of the land. The Eretz. The Eretz is called Eretz because it happily does the will of Hashem. Right? Why is it called Eretz? Because it wants the will of Hashem. Even if you have to work for a living, don't think you're not doing what Hashem wants you to do. He noig behem derech Eretz. The way of Eretz. Yafa Talmud Torah im derech Eretz. You think, well, no, only Torah by itself. Anything else is not good. No, Torah is very good. Even if you're going to learn 1 hour a day, because you're busy working the whole day, Yofet Talmud Torah, Im Derech Eretz, if you go the way of the land, that you're happy with the job you have to make Parnassa, that's also beautiful Derech Eretz as well. So you see this idea to act like the Eretz. You learned this from Yishmael. With this, it explains another amazing thing. I'm going to go quickly now. Moshe Rabbeinu, the rebellion of Korach, had a most unusual ending. Right, Moshe says, if I'm right, what Hashem should open the mouth of the earth and the earth should swallow up Korach. Yep. And what happened indeed, that's what happened. The earth swallowed up Korach and everyone was screaming, etc., etc. So two questions. Why did Moshe pick such an unusual punishment? I mean, God, just send a fire and kill him, like standard punishments. You know, we've been in the desert for a while. People complain, Hashem sends a fire, burns them up, and finish. Send snakes, kills them with snakes, right? That's what normal. Well, no, open up the earth? Like, what kind of a punishment is that? A. B, it seems that Korah keeps saying that it opens its mouth. The earth should open its mouth. What do you mean it has a mouth? It talks. What's going on over here? The answer is, what was the whole problem with Korah? Look in source 12. They all came against Moshe. And he said, you take too much upon yourself. Source 12.
Yes.
The entire congregation is holy. And the Lord's in the midst. So why do you raise yourself aboard the Lord above the Lord's? What are they saying? How come you get all the good jobs? We don't. Yeah. Right? What was their complaint? We don't like the job you gave us. How come you get to be the Kohen? And you get the leader? And what do we get? We just get to be, you know, the cast of thousands. We don't like that job. So what does Moshe say to them? 13. Tomorrow morning you'll bring a Katoris, right? Look what Rashi says on source 13. In the morning, the Lord will make known who is his and who is holy, and he will draw him near to him, and the one he chooses, he will draw near to him. So why do you say in the morning? Just say tomorrow. So Rashi says from the Medrash in source 14, he says, listen, can you change the morning into evening?
No.
No, the sun has its job. No matter how much you want to try, you can't change the job. You can't undo it. Whatever Hashem wants, you got to do. So guess what? Hashem said, Aaron's the coin. You can't change it. Like, just like you can't change the sun from rising in the east and setting in the west. No matter how much you don't like it, you can't change it. You can't change that Hashem made Aaron the coin and you're not the coin. You can't change it. That's an interesting response. So what does that mean? This is the whole point. This is the whole point. What Eliezer understood, Korach didn't. Korach said, you know, he's a Levi. He comes home, his wife says, you know, look what he's doing to you. Look, we discussed this whole thing. He shaves your hair off, this and that. You're greater than that. You're smarter than that. You're going to just be happy being a Levi? So what are they all saying? We're not happy with the job we have. Now, who teaches us the lesson to be happy with the job we have? The Eretz, the earth. So you're not happy with the job? Guess what? You're going to be punished by the one who is happy with his job. The earth, the Eretz, will swallow you up. Because the Eretz is happy to do Hashem's job. And that's the mouth of the earth that sent a loud and clear message that everybody heard. The earth is happy with his job. You should be happy with the job. You weren't happy? That's your undoing. And see how you're going to have Eliezer, who was the lowest, not lowest, but he's cursed. He was cursed. You'll see in a minute what's going to happen. But he understood to do the will of Hashem. Korach, who was so blessed, he was a Levi. He got to carry the ark. That was a pretty good job. I mean, okay, it's not the top job, not the top two job, but it's in the top 10.
Right.
But being number six just wasn't good enough for him.
And he was very rich.
And he said, and he was rich. No, but I want that job. If Hashem thought you'd be good for the job, he would give you the job.
But he gets rewarded.
Not Korach.
Well, your children.
No, but only because they did tshuva. He lost everything. Everything, we don't have no memory of Korach. Besides his children who did tshuva last minute, all his possessions were swallowed up.
Yes.
But his children, because they did tshuva, they separated from him.
Oh, yeah. They did.
So now, but now we got to go a little further. So this is what we learned from the lesson. Now you talked about reward. Now you're going to see what rewards come for such a person.
Okay.
Number one, interesting. So this earth, now let's go back to the creation of the world. So what reward did the earth get?
What did it get?
Yeah, the earth didn't get such a good job, right? Didn't get such a good job.
It must feel productive in some respect.
It didn't get such a good job. So look at Source 15. The Medrash Tanchuma says, now where does Hashem want to put up his residence? Where does he really want to put up his residence? That's what you think.
Oh,
look at 15. Medrash Parshas Noso. At the time Hashem created the world, he desired to have a domicile in the lower realms. Dira betachtonim. Hashem wants to reside in the earth. In the earth. That place that got the bad job. That's where Hashem wants to be. With those who are happy with the jobs. Yeah, let Hashem be in the heavens. You have to take rocket ships up to heaven to come close to Hashem. No, Hashem, I'm going to put you on planet Earth. And where? Source 16. Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion ival l'moshev lo. Hashem told Zion. Earth in Jerusalem. That's where he wanted to live. And that becomes the reward for the humble people. Source 17, the famous pasuk in Tehillim. V'anavim yirshu aretz. The humble will inherit the earth. You see, you always pay attention. Why say Adama? You have to know now, whenever it says Adama is one thing, Eretz is another thing.
Adama is with
the humble. If you're humble, you take the job you're given. And then you will inherit that way of being. And then you get what? You get Hashem wants to be close to you. That's an amazing reward. And look what we say in the Siddur by Musaf, unfortunately, source 18. Umipnei chato'enu golinu me'artzenu. But when we sin because we're not happy with the job we have, we're exiled from our land. Hashem doesn't want to be with us. So let's ask you a question now. When the earth got asked the question, do you want to be the earth? Now you're going to remember, you're going to be everything about coarseness and physicality, and it's going to pull people down and that. Would you like that job? Well, Hashem, if you think that's a good job for me, I'm happy to take that. Hashem says, that's very nice. Years later, when Hashem has to decide where am I going to put my holiness, I'm going to that one who didn't have a very good job, and he took it. He was humble. I'm going to put my Beis HaMikdash not in the heavens, not on a big mountaintop, not in the oceans and all this. I'm going to put it on planet Earth, on dirtied Earth. Is going to be the Beis HaMikdash. That's where my presence is going to lie. You don't lose anything. And therefore, the same thing happens to Eliezer in Source 19. Because when Eliezer finally comes to Lavan, and the first thing they say is, Bo Baruch Hashem. Come, the Blessed One of God. That's interesting. The Medrash says, you know, wait a minute, didn't Avram call him a cursed guy before? That morning he was called a cursed guy. That morning. Yeah. And now by evening he's blessed. Look what the Medrash says. And he said, come the blessed Hashem. Kenan, he is Eliezer, and by serving the tzaddik faithfully, he exited from the category of cursed to the one of blessed. And that's what Avram had in mind the whole time, but he couldn't tell Eliezer that. Just like when Hashem tested Avram, he said, well, I'm testing because I'm going to make good things for you. So Avram was doing the same thing to help Eliezer get the same thing. But that stuck it in his face. You curse, what do you got nothing to do with that? I hope he does the right thing, because then he'll escape from being a cursed one to being a blessed one. And that's what happened. But it goes further than this. More than this. The Arizal,
What's that?
That result. Next page, 20.
Yeah.
Kabbalistic source. Says like this. He says, Eliezer started as a cursed one. He had very, very bad spiritual beginnings. But afterwards, he became blessed. And then later it says, and afterwards, he was further clarified and transmigrated into the soul of Kalev ben Yefuneh. Now, who is Kalev ben Yefuneh? He was one of the two good spies. When we sent the 12 spies, who were given a job to do? What was the job? Come back and tell us exactly how good the land is. Remember? And you should know, guys, you 12 princes, you should know when we go to the land of Israel, you're not going to be princes anymore. Here, in the desert, you know, you're good enough to be a prince. But when we get to Israel, I just want you to know, part of the future is you guys aren't going to be princes. But please do your job well and tell us all about the land and say the best you can about the land. Is that a job you really would want to have, Milton? Man, as I tell you, you're working in a company for many years. You say, listen, we've got a new guy coming. Please tell him everything on the ropes. I want you to know, Milton, we're going to fire you soon. We're going to fire you soon because we don't need you anymore because we're going into a new age and you're too old and this and that. Tell him everything you know. Make it easy for him. We're going to hire him. We're going to fire you. I want to know. You're going to get excited about that job?
Not really.
Now you understand what those 10 spies, they had an agenda, but two didn't. Kalev didn't. What do you know about Kalev? It says they came to Hebron. What does Rashi say?
Yeah. He came to Hebron, not they.
He went to pray Marta Machpelah. He went to pray in the patriarchal tomb. Why? Because he's praying to Avram that he should not, what? Be influenced by the spies. And this was the soul of Eliezer went into the body of Kalev ben Yefuneh because Eliezer, who was able to make first tikkun, listening to Avram as a goy, he's blessed. Now his soul goes into Kalev as a Jew.
Wow.
And now he has to, can you also be happy with your job? Now Kalev thinks good and well, he's not going to be a prince anymore. And he prays in the patriarchal tomb for the very same thing. For that, and there's many other interesting things. You know, his name really you should know. Kalev ben Yefuneh. So the rabbis say, really, his name is not, his father's name was not Yefuneh. Was not. His father had a different name. Right? Where is this? I just lost it. 1 second. He was called in the rabbi's name. He was called Ashchor, not Kalev. Ashchor, because he blackened his face from all the fasts he had. He fasted so much to spiritually not be influenced by these negative people, their bad ideas, and also he turned to Hashem, and he did. Yefuneh means to paneh. He turned away. He really wasn't Kalev ben Yefuneh, but he acted like he turned away, not listening to the spies. So now you see that the reward of Eliezer, number one, is he now is not cursed, he is blessed, number one. Number two, he now transmigrates into Kalev and becomes a full-fledged Jew, and he becomes the ones who will be able to inherit the land. And that's why it says in Source 21, when at the end of the story with the spies, I'm going to kill the spies, but Kalev, but as far as my servant Kalev, since he was possessed by another spirit and he followed me, I'll bring to the land to which he came, and sentence will drive its inhabitants out. And I will bring him into the land. Why? Because he did the will of Hashem.
Who's his descendants?
Kalev's children. Kalev's children. All his children. So look where Eliezer ends up. Because he does the will of Hashem. So this is amazing. You learn from this parsha how important you can learn. And who do we pick? We didn't pick Avram Avinu now. Because everyone says, I can't be Avram. Okay. How about Eliezer? A goy. A goy. Look what he did. It's a goy. So can't you learn from Eliezer? You have to learn that the jobs you get, don't look at it if it has to be a job I like. Now, if Hashem gives you the job, then that's the job you're supposed to have. So a lot of times, for example, you know, we're parents. All kinds of situations. So yeah, I'm a parent. Well, you know, I'd really be happy if you gave me a job to raise 3 successful, intelligent children who will all be doctors and lawyers and this. That's a really nice job to give me. What if Hashem has to give you a job to raise a child who has a mental disorder or physical disorder? a Down syndrome child. Because I didn't ask for that job. Hashem gave you that job. You have to learn from the Oretz that that's the job, and if you do that, that's the one Hashem's going to be with. He's going to be with you all the time. And not only that, but if you have any curses in your life, they'll turn into blessings. I know you think, but he just gave me a curse. No, 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 I didn't give you a curse. You have to be like the earth. The earth takes any job. Any job I give, you take happily. Because, you know, only good will come from this. Now, for a couple minutes, let's go real mystical. For just a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes, to take it to a much deeper level over here. Okay, you with me so far?
Sure.
All right, let's go back to this earth jumping. Because it's still a little bit difficult. We didn't answer our original question. How do we know he came back on the same day? He left the same day, came back the same way. We didn't have an answer to that. We didn't really. We explained the whole story of Eliezer. Now it makes sense why you learned this story. There's a lot to learn from this story. But that first Rashi is still problematic. But I just came today, right? And Hashem did a miracle. The earth jumped. And the conversations, the servants are so many. Like, well, what's going on over here? So we're going to take it mystical now. And if you look in the Ohev Yisrael, the Apter Rav, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, and quoting, this is after many, many sources, I'm cutting to the chase with all the sources over here. He says, the mystical name for the earth shrinking, there's a mystical name for it. Now you have to know how to say it and how to do it. It's 22. Mm-hmm. Is Aleph Hey Vav Hey. See it on 22?
Yeah.
Aleph Hey Vav Hey. Why is that the name? In other words, if you know proper mysticism, now, me and you can't do this. Mm-hmm. But if you know proper, you take the, you say that name, Aleph, Hey, Vav, Hey, it will shrink the earth for you. That's you got to be a mystic to know how to do this. I can't do it, but that's what it, why is it those letters? Because it's the first letters of the words, Es HaShamayim Ve'es Ha'aretz. Aleph, Hey, Vav, Hey. Okay? And the mystics say, that Aleph Hey Vav Hey is the signet ring of how Hashem sealed the creation of heavens and earth. When Hashem, you know, sometimes when you make a product, you want to have like, this is our sign to say it passed inspection. You know, you get a little seal of, whatever the government approved or whatever. So Hashem made the whole world, okay, put in a little stamp on it, approved by God. What was the stamp? Aleph Hey Vav Hey.
Beautiful.
Aleph Hey Vav Hey.
Kosher.
It's kosher. Right? Yeah. It's Es HaShamayim Vesor. It's the heavens and the earth. One second. No, I got to finish this part. It's important.
Go ahead.
That's the stamp. And from that comes the ability, if you know how to use that word properly, you can make the earth shrink. You can do all kinds of things. You can make the earth do what you want it to do.
Yeah.
Now, look at this. Now, continuing 22. Now, let's go back to what. Remember, what did Eliezer say? I just left today, right?
Yes.
We're still in 22. Look again. Va'avo hayom el ha'ayin. You see those four words? What are the first letters?
The same.
Vav, hey, aleph, hey.
Wow.
Where was that again?
Right in 22. 22.
Oh, yeah, here. Okay, go.
Look at the first letters. Vav, hey, aleph, hey. Yeah. What was the first letters of that? Aleph, hey, vav, hey.
That's right. That's
same
why,
letters.
That's why Kafsala.
Same letters. Same letters. But wait a minute. Same letters, but not in the right order. You with me?
Yeah.
You see how the order is this? The holy one is Aleph Hey Vav Hey. Got it? Aleph Hey Vav Hey.
Right.
What did he say? Vavo Hayom Ala Oyin. That's Vav Hey Aleph Hey. Right? So look what the Ohev Yisrael says. Yet I still need to inform. I'm not sure. Did the earth shrink for him? Or did he jump over the earth? Here's a question. A guy's able to go from point A to point B in miraculous time. So we say that. Something happens. Now, what happened? Was it that I was able to go fast? Or was that the earth shrank for me?
You're going to say,
well, what's the difference?
He walked fast.
Big difference. Yeah, he explains, basically, well, the basic one is Aleph Hey Vav Hey. Aleph Hey Vav Hey is standard. Standard means that you're able to go a lot more. You're able to jump. When the letters are reversed, it means the earth jumps for you. You see? It's a little bit different. It can go two ways. Either you're able to do things that are not, or maybe the earth will do things. You see? One second. Okay. So the earth shrank for him.
Yeah.
The earth shrank for him. That's what we're learning of. The earth shrank for him. Okay. So now, says other mystics in Source 24, a complete person is called a tov ayin. Tov, good eye. Tov is the gematria 17. Tuf, vav, ve, tes, vav, ve is 17. What's the gematria of aleph, hey, vav, hey?
Same.
17. And 17 is also a name mystically for das, for wisdom. Wisdom. Let's put it all together over here. Aleph, hey, vav, hey, that's God's seal of approval of the earth. What's the seal of approval? And we got three things here. God's seal of approval, Esa Shemayim Vesaretz, Aleph Hei Vav Hei. We have Eliezer was, same letters, but just a little order, the earth shrank for him. A person with a lot of da'as is a person with a tov, who's a good. So what does all this mean? The answer is, we know in Pirkei Avos, verse 25, Hashem created everything in this world for His honor. Everything Hashem created in the world is to understand that everything has a purpose. When you follow the Torah and use the world according to God's purpose, that everything in the world meets its purpose. Remember, everything in this world has a job. The earth has a job. The sun has a job. You have a job. This has a job. That has a job. The person with da'as, the person with real intellect, understands this idea that everything has to reach its purpose. And everything you do in this world is only one question you ask. How does everything meet its purpose? And you got to be a very clever person to live that way. You get swallowed up in gaiva and ego and all these kinds of things. End of the day, how is Hashem's glory better realized in this entire world? Not how I'm going to feel better. How is it realized better? How does every job get done properly? And often that means you get stuck doing the job that you don't like doing. Isn't that how you solve most of these problems? Right, you wanted to have one thing, the other person wanted another thing. Now there's a conflict, and now the question is, okay, who really has the job? Let's say there's two people, and there's an issue here. It's going to require one person to be the bigger person. You know, well, I was counting on this, and you were counting it, and no, somebody's got to be the bigger person. Who wants to take that job? Let him take that job. But you know, the guy's a spiritual wimp. You know, the guy has got, you know, he's a little bit damaged and he doesn't have self-control. But it's not my fault. He did the wrong thing. And why should I give it to him? But Hashem just wants Shalom over here. Who's going to make the Shalom? Now, between the two of you, honestly, who is the more mentally healthy person who could just give in? Well, how come I got to give in and the guy always gets his way and I got it and he gets this and I got it this? And I, but you know, you just don't have Shalom. Well, you give me a real earthly job. Yeah, that's what I'm giving you, a real earthly job. But a chacham knows that's what Hashem wants. A person like that, you know how Hashem looks at such a person? Hashem says, he's my man. He's my man. And I'm watching him because he has my interest all the time. And when that happens, boy, you open up all kinds of beautiful things. And I wonder what we call the opposite of a Pandora's box. You know, Pandora's box is always, you open it up and all kinds of, you know, just like I had an issue many years, you have a vicious cycle. And I said, well, what is in the positive? Someone finally told me it's called a virtuous cycle, a virtuous circle. That's when the positive. So I want to know, what's the positive of a Pandora's box in the positive? That's a good question. I don't know the answer. Someone will, all my thousands of listeners, halavai, will tell me, you know. But when you say, I am here just to do the jobs God gives me, you open up the positive box.
Treasure?
Well, maybe a treasures box, but it's got to be more than that. We got to think of a good word for that. But anyway, and this is what he explains with the Balaketa. Beautiful idea. He says there's two ways that God runs the world through nature. One he calls Teva Mefursam, the widely known nature of the things. And another one he calls Teva Chacham, the nature of wisdom. What does that mean? He says, usually the world goes the way the world goes. You know, God, let's say, says, okay, I created water. Water flows. Water flows. Water flows. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, a baby falls into the water. Well, water flows. Water flows. Baby dies. Water flows. That's Teva Mefursam. That's the well-known. Because the Teva doesn't think. You know, you go over to the water. Can you, you know, go to the water. A baby falls into a river. Hashem talks, river, please be nice. Stop flowing. Let the baby live. The Rebbe said, I don't know anything about Kunsten. I'm not very smart. I just do what I do. Baby dies. Jewish people come to the Sea of Reeds. Please split the world. What for? That's my job, is to flow. I'm not such a chacham. I'm not so smart to know to flow for one, flow for another, you know. But there is a teva chacham. When the teva acts smart. Teva acts smart. And says, you know, this one Hashem wants me to have live. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be a smart nature.
I'm going to be a smart what?
Smart nature. Nature is usually not smart. It just does what it does. But can you imagine if the river was smart? The Russia falls in. Keep flowing, keep flowing. The Tzadik falls. Oh, no, I got to stop. Says the Balakeda, the Spanish philosopher. He says that, you know what? When a person lives his life to do the will of Hashem, he interacts with nature, and nature interacts with him, that they act smart. Because they know this one Hashem doesn't want to lose. They act smart. And the point of creation is that a person has to serve Hashem with everything in this world. Just 2 more minutes so you could ask your question. Let me just finish this point. So in other words, if you're the person who does the will of Hashem with this earth, Hashem will make the earth do the will for you. And that's when you get real miracles. That's when it happens. And that's the point he's saying over here. And that's what, where is it? 1 second. And that you find, for example, by Avram. When he bought the field from Ephron, full circle. Mm-hmm. He bought the field from Ephron. Now, Avram, Hashem promised Avram, you have the whole land of Israel. Mm-hmm. You're going to be blessed. You're a rich man. Now, remember what Avram did for the land of Canaan. He saved it from the four kings. Mm-hmm. He was mamish the Godel Ador. Even the Goyim recognized how great he was. Mm-hmm. He needs to bury his wife. Don't you think it could be a little easier? Could be a little easier to do it? Yeah. He meets Ephron. He meets Ephron. Cheating. Gives him a hard time. Yeah, for $4 trillion, I'll sell you this piece of garbage.
Cheating.
Now, Avram is going to say, this is not right. I'm going to pull rank on him. You're a bozo. You're a nothing. And you know what you owe me? You guys all owe me? You know what? I should be taxing you guys. Now you didn't give me this. I'm going to take over this country. I'm going to bring my soldiers. I'm going to make me take that. You're going to learn you don't mess around with Avram. Or he could say, you know what? Hashem wants me to bury her in the Maris HaMakpelah. I got the money. I have to make a Kiddush Hashem. Just do the will of Hashem. That's all. Torah says in Source 26, so the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah facing Mamre, was established. Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, what's the word established? 26? Vayachem, it rose. It was elevated. When the Maris HaMakpelah was owned by Ephron, it didn't reach its goal. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything special. Avram turned it into Maris HaMakpelah. It's a place that this Shabbos, 30,000 Jews are going to pray there. When Ephron had it, it was just a dung heap. So when Avram knew, every part of the world has to be used. And if Hashem making me pay $4 million, it's worth it. I don't have to worry about the money. And now the field itself was raised up and reached its potential because Avram understood this idea. And that's what the Shulchan, I don't have time to go through 27, it's so long, but basically the Shulchan says, you know, we got to do a lot of mundane things in life. You got to eat, you got to sleep, a lot of things, you know, procreate, all those things that don't seem so spiritual. And you think, you know, what a waste of time or just whatever it is. But he keeps saying, no, you have to go in every Becholderachavdaehu, everywhere you go, you got to know Hashem. Everything in life, as mundane as it is, it's meant to be doing the will of Hashem through that. Mm. And that's what's meant. Everything you do in life. So you say, oh, I got to do a carpool. What a loser I am. I wish I had more money and I could have a chauffeur drive them. Oh, yeah, I got to clean the laundry. If I had a nanny, I wouldn't have to clean the laundry. Oh, yeah, I got to go shopping at Sobeys. I got this, all these mundane things. But Hashem says, this is all part of my big world. And everything in this world is meant to unify with Hashem. And no matter what kind of crummy job you think you have, you have to realize you're going to elevate all these different things. You go into Sobeys and you buy green peppers. And you make those green peppers and you cook those green peppers. And you're thinking of Hashem and you make a brach on those green peppers. Those green peppers are doing the will of Hashem, and only you could have done it. Better you bought it than a goy. and to realize that everything you're doing has to be l'shem shemayim. So concludes the Shvilei Pinchas in 28. When a person unifies all his physical aspects only for Hashem, he is repairing the earth and elevating it to its source. Then the earth shows its gratitude. The earth has a karas hatov and changes its simple, natural garment that doesn't know a difference between a tzaddik and a rasha into the garment of the nature of wisdom. So far, to jump for him, so he should reach his intended destination without impediments. That's what it means when the earth jumps for you. The earth jumps for you. When we want to do things in the world, why don't things happen faster? Because we live in a physical world and you can only do things so fast. You want to do something good, you know, you want to build a shul. You know, well, no, doesn't work. Still didn't build it. No, still didn't build it. You got to go to a tree, chop a tree down, try to make wooden planks out of it. Takes a lot of time, no? Mm-hmm. And then you cut this, and then what happened? Oh, it fell. Oh, it broke. I'm going to have to chop another tree. Doesn't always work easily the first time, mm-hmm. second time. Oh, so many delays. You know why? Because the earth is just acting like earth. And maybe you don't really always do the will of Hashem when you need to do the will of Hashem. But when the earth sees that you're the kind of guy that's earthly, and you jump to do the will of Hashem, earth doesn't become an impediment. It goes easy. That's the whole idea. The physical world always, there's certain laws of nature that slow things down. Gravity, all kind of inertia, like thus it slows things down. Things take too long. You want things to go faster, faster. So it's just, why should I make it go faster for you? What do you do faster for me? The regular earth is dumb, doesn't know any different, and it doesn't help. But so why should I help you? You're a tzaddik. But if you really do for the earth has gratitude for you. Has gratitude, it's going to get the job done fast. So let's go back and finish up this Rashi. So you see what Ephron. Ephron was given a terrible job. You know what? If you're such a loyal servant, you know what you get for all that? You're cursed. Eliezer. You're cursed. You're never going to have my daughter. And forget it. Now, do this job for me. I'm going to do it. So what happens? Now, Avram hinted to him. He hinted to him. Let's go back to Source. Oh, I'm not going to remember which one it is now.
Eli.
24. Source 8. He makes him swear. Elokei Hashamayim. Elokei Aris. What are the letters? First letters? Aleph, Hey, Vav, Hey.
The same code.
It's the secret of what? Making the earth jump for you. Elias, I want you to know something. It's a long trip. But I'm willing to give you a little help on the trip. You can make the earth jump for you. Really? Here's the secret. Aleph, Hey, Vav, Hey. That's the secret.
Really?
It could work? Yeah, but it only works for a person who jumps for Hashem. Then the earth will jump for you. So he's kind of saying, Eliezer, there's two ways you can do this job. You can do this job grumpily and not happy. You could say Aleph, Hey, Vav, Hey all day long. The earth is not going to say, you're just a regular guy, I'm not doing anything for you. But if you're going to take this job on with all sincerity, even though you get nothing out of it, you're going to see the earth is going to jump for you. Now let's read the first Rashi, and it sings. It sings. Look at the pasuk now. Va'avo hayom el ha'ayin. Vav hey aleph hey. So how does Rashi know that I left today and came today? Because look at the letters. It's the letters of the mystery of making the earth do what you want it to do. Very unusual. Va'avo hayom el ha'ayin. Vav hey aleph hey. You see? That's where Rashi got it. Today I left. Today I arrived. From here we see that the earth shrank for him because it was a little bit different order. Remember, the other order is you were able to jump faster, but here the earth jumped for you. Now look at this next shot. Yafa sichasan shel avdei avos. Beautiful is the speech of the avdei avos. You know what the speech was? The letter of Aleph Vav Hey Vav. The mystical words of making a jump. That was a beautiful speech. See how the whole Rashi fits? All three parts fit in. How did Rashi... Rashi's saying, I want you to know, by saying the words, Va'ava Hayom Ala'ayin, he's hinting to us that he got there in a day, because that's the mystery of jumping. And it was a little bit different order than the regular one, because the earth jumped for him. And that's how the ordinary conversation of the servants of the patriarch is more beloved before Hashem, because they care about doing the will of Hashem, so the earth jumps for you. And now you understand what Rashi, you understand again, second week in a row, Rashi is the biggest mystic in the world, and he covers it up so well you don't even realize what he's doing over here. You hear? So Avram was saying, I gave you a hard job, and I know I gave you a hard job, but I'm telling you one thing, you want to have a lot of success? Make sure you're like the Uritz, and then you'll see everything's going to be clear, and you see his job went so easy. His job went, he gets done one day. And remember, they tried to poison him and kill him, and he didn't get poisoned and killed, and he comes back, and the next day, he did the whole trip in about 24 hours, back and forth, and everything, and everything's perfect. So if you want to know, and a lot of times we're doing things in life, it's like, oh, it's going so hard. You know why? Because maybe you need to take a page out of the playbook of the Uritz world. When that Uritz world will tell you, then you'll be able to accomplish so many things. And even if you're not able to do a lot, look at this last beautiful idea. Look at source 29. Again, look at the words. Chazal. Echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamid. It doesn't matter if you do a lot or a little. Sometimes you don't have a lot of money. You only can give a little money. You know, I give a little money. What does Hashem need my $5 to tzedakah? The rich man needs, but my $5. But look, even if you give a little, but the main thing is, do it for the sake of heaven. Again, look at the first letters. Echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamid. Aleph, hey, vav, hey. Even if you're in a position where you can't give a lot, don't pull yourself down. So you know, if you give for the sake of heaven, then as far as where you accept your role as not having a lot of money to give, but you give what you can, as long as you do it for Hashem's sake, this will happen. So you see the message of this parsha. It's unbelievable. Welcome the lousy jobs, the ones that nobody wants to do. Right? I'll give you a simple example. We got the hot water kettle in the room next door. Who bothers filling it up? You use it, run out. Yeah? Fill it up. That's a junkie job. Why do I got to fill up for everybody? Let everybody fill up for himself. That's a junkie job. Yeah, you're walking in the shul, you're walking by, you see the piece of garbage on the floor. Yeah, let the cleaning lady do it. It's a junkie job. If you take every job Hashem gives you and you do it the way Eliezer, you'll end up blessed. If you think you're cursed, you'll end up blessed. It will go on for generations, and the earth will do what it wants. I don't know if the earth's going to jump for you, but one thing's for sure, it won't get in your way. And you'll see you'll have incredible hatzalacha. So that's the beautiful message of this week's parsha.